The same thing had happened. I had crawled from the wrecked vehicle and seen the pig and his wife long before they saw me, even though I was the only one not looking through night goggles. And again, too doped on adrenaline to reflect on the matter, I'd let it pass, although by then it was not quite so easy to put out of mind. Now, though, I knew that there was some deep genetic shift taking place in my eyes, and that nothing which had happened before had been my imagination. Perhaps the changes were already complete, irrespective of the degree of genetic fragmentation which the Mixmaster had observed. "Whatever he told you," Chantrell said, "it wasn't what you wanted to hear, was it?"
"He didn't tell me anything. You were there. You heard every word he said.
I thought maybe some of it would make sense to you." "That was my hope, but none of it did." We ambled back to the open area where the tea house was, my mind running like an unchecked flywheel. Someone had tampered with my eyes on the genetic level, reprogramming them to grow in an alien manner. Could it have been initiated by the Houseman virus? Perhaps. But what did seeing in the dark have to do with Sky? Sky hated the dark, feared it totally. But he couldn't see in it. The change would not have happened since I had arrived on Yellowstone, unless Dominica had done it when I was having the implant removed. I had been conscious, but sufficiently disoriented that she might have been able to do it. But that didn't fit. I had experienced the night vision before that. What about Waverly? It was possible, especially from the chronological aspect. I'd been unconscious in the canopy while Waverly installed the implant. That would have allowed only a few hours between administration of the genetic treatment and the onset of physical changes in the eye. Given that the changes could be thought of as a kind of controlled growth, it seemed nowhere near long enough, but maybe it was, given that only a relatively small area of cells was affected, rather than a major organ or large region of the anatomy. And suddenly I saw that it was at least possible from the point of view of motivation. Waverly had been working for both sides, and he had tipped off Zebra about me, giving me a sporting chance of making it alive through the game. Was it also possible that he had opted to give me another advantage, that of night vision? It was possible, yes. It was even comforting. But nothing I was ready to believe in. "You wanted to look at Methuselah," Chantrell said, pointing towards the large metal-framed tank I had seen earlier. "Well, now's your chance."
"Methuselah?"
"You'll see." I pushed my way through the throng of people rimming the tank. Actually, it was not necessary to do much pushing. People tended to get out of my way before I even made eye contact, pulling the same look of nasal insult that I had seen on the face of the Mixmaster. I sympathized with them.
"Methuselah's a fish," Chantrell said, joining me against the smoky green glass. "A very big and very old one.
The oldest, actually."
"How old?"
"No one knows, except that he's at least as old as the Americano era. That makes him comfortably older than any organism alive on this planet, with the possible exception of a few bacterial cultures." The huge and bloated koi, unspeakably ancient, filled the tank like a basking sea cow. His eye, as large as a plate, observed us with a complete lack of sentience, as if we were looking into a slightly tarnished mirror. Whitish cataracts spanned the eye like chains of islands on a slate-gray sea. His scales were pale and almost entirely colorless, and the distended bulk of his body was marred by odd protrusions and lacunae of diseased flesh. His gills opened and closed with a slowness that suggested it was only the stirring of the currents in the tank that